Or that Newton's three laws are three articles of faith. Or that demons and angels and inertias and reactions are all mythological characters. But that, in their eras of dominance, they were almost as firmly believed in as if they had been proved. Enormities and preposterousnesses will march. They will be proved as well as Moses or Darwin or Lyell ever proved anything. We substitute acceptance for belief. Cells of an embryo take on different appearances in different eras. The more firmly established, the more difficult to change. That social organism is embryonic. That firmly to believe is to impede development. That only temporarily to accept is to facilitate. But, except that we substitute acceptance for belief, our methods will be the conventional methods, the means by which every belief has been formulated and supported, or our methods will be the methods of theologians and savages and scientists and children. Because, if all phenomena are continuous, there can be no positively different methods. By the inconclusive means and methods of cardinals and fortune-tellers and evolutionists and peasants, methods which must be inconclusive, if they relate always to the local, and if there is nothing local to conclude, we shall write this book. If it function as an expression of its era, it will prevail. All sciences begin with attempts to define. Nothing ever has been defined. Because there is nothing to define. Darwin wrote The Origin of Species. He was never able to tell what he meant by a species. It is not possible to define. Nothing has ever been finally found out. Because there is nothing final to find out. It's like looking for a needle that no one ever lost in a haystack that never was. But that all scientific attempts really to find out something, whereas really there is nothing to find out, are attempts, themselves, really to be something. A seeker of truth. He will never find it. But the dimmest of possibilities he may himself become truth. Or that science is more than an inquiry. That it is a pseudo-construction, or a quasi-organization, that it is an attempt to break away and locally establish harmony, stability, equilibrium, consistency, entity. Dimmest of possibilities that it may succeed. That ours is a pseudo-existence, and that all appearances in it partake of its essential fictitiousness. But that some appearances approximate far more highly to the positive state than do others. We conceive of all things as occupying gradations, or steps in series between positiveness and negativeness, or realness and unrealness, that some seeming things are more nearly consistent, just, beautiful, unified, individual, harmonious, stable than others. We are not realists. We are not idealists. We are intermediatists that nothing is real, but that nothing is unreal, that all phenomena are approximations one way or the other between realness and unrealness. So then, that our whole quasi-existence is an intermediate stage between positiveness and negativeness or realness and unrealness. Like purgatory, I think. But in our summing up, which was very sketchily done, we omitted to make clear that realness is an aspect of the positive state. By realness, I mean that which does not merge away into something else, and that which is not partly something else, that which is not a reaction to, or an imitation of, something else. By a real hero, we mean one who is not partly a coward, or whose actions and motives do not merge away into cowardice. But, if in continuity, all things do merge, by realness, I mean the universal, besides which there is nothing with which to merge. That, though the local might be universalized, it is not conceivable that the universal can be localized, but that high approximations there may be, and that these approximate successes may be translated out of intermediateness into realness quite as, in a relative sense, the industrial world recruits itself by translating out of unrealness, or out of the seemingly less real imaginings of inventors, machines which seem, when set up in factories, to have more of realness than they had when only imagined. That all progress, if all progress is toward stability, organization, harmony, consistency, or positiveness, is the attempt to become real. So, then, in general metaphysical terms, our expression is that, like a purgatory, All that is commonly called existence, which we call intermediateness, is quasi-existence, neither real nor unreal, but expression of attempt to become real, or to generate for or recruit a real existence. Our acceptance is that science, though usually thought of so specifically, or in its own local terms, usually supposed to be a prying into old bones, bugs, unsavory messes, is an expression of this one spirit animating all intermediateness, that, if science could absolutely exclude all data but its own present data, or that which is assimilable with the present quasi-organization, it would be a real system, with positively definite outlines it would be real. Its seeming approximation to consistency, stability, system positiveness or realness is sustained by damning the irreconcilable or the unassimilable. All would be well. All would be heavenly. If the damned would only stay damned. 2. In the autumn of 1883, and for years afterward, occurred brilliant colored sunsets, such as had never been seen before within the memory of all observers. Also there were blue moons. I think that one is likely to smile incredulously at the notion of blue moons. Nevertheless, they were as common as were green suns in 1883. Science had to account for these unconventionalities. Such publications as Nature and Knowledge were besieged with inquiries. I suppose, in Alaska and in the South Sea Islands, all the medicine men were similarly upon trial. Something had to be thought of. Upon the 28th of August, 1883, the volcano of Krakatoa, of the Straits of Sunda, had blown up. Terrific. We're told that the sound was heard 2,000 miles, and that 36,380 persons were killed. Seems just a little unscientific, or impositive, to me. Marvel to me we're not told 2,163 miles and 36,387 persons. The volume of smoke that went up must have been visible to other planets or, tormented with our crawlings and scurryings, the Earth complained to Mars, swore a vast black oath at us. In all textbooks that mention this occurrence, no exception so far so I have read, it is said that the extraordinary atmospheric effects of 1883 were first noticed in the last of August or the 1st of September. That makes a difficulty for us. It is said that these phenomena were caused by particles of volcanic dust that were cast high in the air by Krakatoa. This is the explanation that was agreed upon in 1883. But for 7 years the atmospheric phenomena continued. Except that, in the seven, there was a lapse of several years, and where was the volcanic dust all that time? You'd think that such a question as that would make trouble. Then you haven't studied hypnosis. You have never tried to demonstrate to a hypnotic that a table is not a hippopotamus. According to our general acceptance, it would be impossible to demonstrate such a thing. Point out 100 reasons for saying that a hippopotamus is not a table, you'll have to end up agreeing that neither is a table a table, it only seems to be a table. Well, that's what the hippopotamus seems to be. So how can you prove that something is not something else, when neither is something else some other thing? There's nothing to prove. This is one of the profundities that we advertised in advance. You can oppose an absurdity only with some other absurdity. But science is established preposterousness. We divide all intellection, the obviously preposterousness and the established. But Krakatoa, that's the explanation that the scientists gave. I don't know what whopper the medicine men told. We see, from the start, the very strong inclination of science to deny, as much as it can, external relations of this earth. This book is an assemblage of data of external relations of this earth. We take the position that our data have been damned, upon no consideration for individual merits or demerits, but in conformity with a general attempt to hold out for isolation of this earth. This is attempted positiveness. We take the position that science can no more succeed than, in a similar endeavor, could the Chinese, or than could the United States. So then, with only pseudo-consideration of the phenomena of 1883, or as an expression of positivism in its aspect of isolation, or unrelatedness, scientists have perpetrated such an enormity as suspension of volcanic dust 7 years in the air, disregarding the lapse of several years rather than to admit the arrival of dust from somewhere beyond this earth. Not that scientists themselves have ever achieved positiveness, in its aspect of unitedness, among themselves, because Nordensk Schold, before 1883, wrote a great deal upon his theory of cosmic dust, and Professor Cleveland Abbe contended against the Krakatoan explanation, but that this is the orthodoxy of the main body of scientists. My own chief reason for indignation here. That this preposterous explanation interferes with some of my own enormities. It would cost me too much explaining, if I should have to admit that this Earth's atmosphere has such sustaining power. Later, we shall have data of things that have gone up in the air and that have stayed up somewhere weeks, months, but not by the sustaining power of this Earth's atmosphere. For instance, the turtle of Vicksburg. It seems to me that it would be ridiculous to think of a good-sized turtle hanging, for 3 or 4 months, upheld only by the air, over the town of Vicksburg. When it comes to the horse and the barn, I think that they'll be classics someday, but I can never accept that a horse and a barn could float several months in this Earth's atmosphere.